Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is
Babe.
Anyways.
Okay, so it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Hi.
A big day in our lives. What? What?
I like just jumping right in.
Well, I always jump right in.
You were a big proponent of a jump right in.
I love a dive right in.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. I could not actually care less.
Couldn't care less.
A, I hate the NFL. B, yeah. I hate Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake has had flop after flop, and that's excluding the troll song, which is a troll. And he is somehow headlining this big event, even though... I mean, it's just like it's the testament to this mediocrity of a straight white man getting 20,000 chances to exist.
Yeah.
And it's like he has not had a hit in so long. No one cares about him. His album is flopping and yet he gets the biggest thing. Meanwhile, Janet Jackson is like, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. You know,
justice for Janet.
Justice for Janet for sure. I'm like, what is Justin going to sing like sexy back?
Who
like
cares?
We really need to hear that song again.
Who gives a shit? Seriously.
Ugh.
Like, I don't think so.
I'm over it. Do the readers like Justin Timberlake? I'm
no.
So confused.
No one likes Justin Timberlake.
I told you this earlier, though. I was on a text chain with a bunch of friends that were like trying to bet on like what Justin Timberlake was going to sing in the halftime show and getting like excited about him. And I was just like, who are you people?
Yeah, those people need to be hospitalized.
But they're all my like East Coast friends that are also huge Patriots heads.
Oh, okay.
So well,
they're blinded by sports.
They're like a whole in a
they're
whole other their, like universe.
They have their sports goggles on, so they're excited because it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're really excited.
But JT for the halftime show does nothing for me. In fact,
no.
It just attracts.
Yeah, like as if I needed more of a reason to stay away. Like they just gave me a great reason to stay away.
Stay
entirely.
Back.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I shan't be watching. But love and light to all those who are watching. I would love to eat like some treats or like a seven layer
like
dip. I'm so hungry right now.
I know,
we just
I'm starving.
Have,
we
I'm
salad.
Starving.
We're starving.
I had like a full meal.
Well, we had a business
Ryan,
meeting.
We had a business meeting to talk about merch.
Yeah, which I think we're landing somewhere nice.
Yeah, we're getting there, guys.
Yeah, we're gonna get there, and it's gonna be cute, and you're gonna like it.
Yeah,
we promise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we're hungry.
But also, Laura, you ate a scone too.
I ate a scone.
Not to call you out.
Well, yeah, I was like, hungry. I wanted a
but
little
how are
sweetie
you still
treat.
Hungry? You had a scone.
Because I'm hungry. I'm a growing girl. I also fit into my skinny jeans today, so nice try. One of us may be gaining weight. It isn't me.
Honey, no. I'm not gaining weight. I'm not.
I'm just kidding. I don't want to troll. I don't want to troll you.
I know. No,
I can't ignite a
I know,
Ryan.
Don't light the
I like.
Flame.
I actually realized
yeah,
what I just
what
did,
just
and
did.
I was like,
"Back away!"
Yeah,
yeah you don't think be
no, I was like, "That's the worst
don't
possible thing."
Don't get these wheels
do.
Turning; it will be bad
Here's
for both of us.
Here's the deal: is like, it's not ever okay to like make someone feel like they're gaining weight or they're fat, even if you mean it as a harmless
even as a
joke.
Lull?
In my experience, it's. It turns out as a null for all parties involved.
That's true. It's slippery slope.
Like when I was little, I have a sister who's 5 years. I know. I would love like a brownie. I've been craving
really?
A brownie.
I want nachos.
Well, let's make this happen, but like, let's stay on track.
Okay. Sorry.
So when I was, I'm like, when I was young, I still do have a sister. So my little sister is 5 years younger than me. And all growing up, I just used to mercilessly tease her and call her fat all the time.
Oh my God. Was she ever fat?
No, she's always been tiny. And it to me, it was just the funniest thing. I'd be like, Sarah's so fat. And she'd be like, I'm not fat. And like flip out. And but then the troll, it actually did a lot of damage.
You don't fucking say.
She like, I think has body just, well, she's like, She has issues around weight.
Oh, wow.
And eating. And I think a lot of that's from me. So, oh. Sarah, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. I've apologized to her. I'm not just like apologizing to her on the air, but like that made me realize it's never okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's all about context and tone and intention.
Mine was just to like rile her up, but it like perma riled her. So
I don't know actually anyone who.
I don't know anyone who would like. Yeah, I don't know anyone who you would be like, hey, fat ass. And they'd be like, like laugh. I don't think anyone would. I would like to see the person that's like, I bet it. I maybe we're getting into like murky territory here.
Merchy
territory. I don't want to like piss anyone off.
Should we have merch that just says, hey, fat ass? Hey, fat ass. Should that be our merch? Hey, fat ass. Wait, that's kind of brilliant.
It's kind of funny to me to call, like it always has been, but maybe I'm just like a mean
in
person.
In this culture, making t-shirts with that hey fat ass on it would not go well. I would say that that would be a total fail.
Is that a fail or would that be like reappropriating the joke?
I honestly don't think we're there yet. I'm all about reappropriating and reclaiming power.
But maybe soon? When is it going to be okay? It's not like
Laura.
Okay.
No.
Maybe. Okay.
Back up the truck.
I'm backing it. I'm like, do.
Yeah.
Anyways. We're learning lessons and I apologize.
Aw.
It's okay. So I take it back. You haven't gained weight.
Maybe I have. I actually don't care.
No, you, I don't know. I don't keep track of your body.
I don't care. I was actually in San Diego on vacation. And
you went to a chic hotel.
Yeah, I went to a really chic hotel. So everyone knows about Key West and how it wasn't my journey. So I think that this was actually an amazing antidote to that experience.
Yeah, you needed a win.
Yeah, I needed a win bad.
You really needed
a win bad. Yeah. It was bad. Okay, so I went to this place called Rancho Valencia in San Diego. It's very expensive. let's make that clear. Let's get that right out of the way.
Oh, good. Because I really thought it was not expensive.
So the only reason why I was able to go and afford it without like committing financial suicide was that there's this deal in the off months of buy two, get one free. Now, the whole buy two nights, get one free. And the whole concept of off months is hilarious in Southern California because it's truly summer all year round.
Like, especially like global warming. It's just now hot.
When we went, it was 80 degrees every day. It was beautiful. So I also got a gift card for $500 from Secret Santa at work, which I think we talked about how my Secret Santa at work was like a $500 buy-in.
And we did not talk about that on this podcast.
It was dark.
It was
dark. But
it was a journey.
It was a journey.
Well,
we didn't talk about it.
No, we talked about it offline, but we didn't talk about it online.
Well, viewers,
the stakes are high when you have a network TV show job. The Secret Santa.
I think that the reason why I didn't talk about it was I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it. I don't know. I'm confused. Anyways, let's move past this. So okay. I had a $500 gift card. It was like for Rancho Valencia, which I was like obsessed with. And it was a game of greed. So people could bring back your gift. Like they could like, if they wanted it, they could take it back. You know, mm-hmm. So it was a whole like weird vibe. And when I got Rancho Valencia, I thought for sure people were going to be clamoring for it because it's $500 towards a really chic resort. And no one wanted it. Everyone was like, San Diego, not really for me. And I was like, what? I'm like, you guys are misguided. Like,
I love a chic hotel stay.
I know. I'm like, honey, this is like an experience. Like, but honestly, maybe it's more of just like, I could never stay at this place if it wasn't for this gift card and like the deal, the buy two, get one free, because it's truly out of this world in terms of money. Whatever. Long story short is we went the day after I wrapped and it was next level.
Yeah.
I've never been somewhere that's so chic. We had a outdoor jacuzzi, which was beyond.
In your room? Just your personal one?
Outside. Like we had a patio with its own jacuzzi, like a big jacuzzi.
Wow.
And just for ourselves, which was next fucking level. We tried to have sex in it. It didn't work, sadly.
You kind of have to
be
drunk.
Who can have sex in a jacuzzi?
I can.
How? Okay.
Honey.
Really?
The times
we could
that I've
not
done it.
Fuck.
Why? Just because, like, no lube?
Yeah, well, we forgot to bring lube, and then we were too shy to actually ask the front desk for lube.
What?
And I know, because it's, like, really Republican, which was another thing.
Honey.
So, hold on.
Wait, I don't understand. when you're paying all that money to stay somewhere, like, the first thing I ask for is lube.
No, I know. And but can I just talk about the amenities? Because they were truly insane. So if you drive, so you which we don't.
You had a jacuzzi.
Yeah. And then we had this giant, gorgeous room. Stunning, sweet, amazing. So the amenities were crazy. Basically, we don't drive, but if you did drive, there were a collection of vintage Ferraris and Porsches that you could just drive for the day and take out.
They didn't charge you for them?
No charging. The mini bar was free. I say free in quotes because everything's like, it's so expensive here, and then you get there and you realize why. But to their credit, they don't nickel and dime you once you're there, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, that's nice.
So the mini bar is free, quote unquote. They also have daily activities. We went to a tequila tasting, which was free, and we tasted a lot of tequila for free.
Love.
They bring you fresh squeezed orange juice every day. And then
to your room?
Yeah. And then you have countless workout classes that are free. What? And they give you smoothie. When you exit, there's someone with smoothies for you. Yeah. No, it's actually
this is a dream come true.
It really is. Like, you know, I've stayed some like pretty nice places. I mean nice places.
Ryan likes nice things.
I do. But
in case you didn't know that, yeah, exactly, about him.
Yeah, my relatability meter is really going off the charts.
It's
today.
Really going off the charts.
So
both of us are really.
But I was blown away because I realized that I have actually my whole life spent a lot of money to be treated like shit. Like going to a place like the Chateau Marmont or Sunset Tower, like in LA, you spend a lot of money to be treated like garbage because you're not a celebrity. So it's like, if you're not a celebrity in LA, it doesn't matter where you're going. If you're not anybody, like you will, but you have the money, it doesn't matter. Like you're paying to be there, but you're not going to be treated well at all.
Well, I think that's like, I think that's a trend that's going
away,
extinct.
Well, so San Diego's not chic. So it's like, when you're going there, it's like you're paying a lot of money and they treat you, again, it's the most vomit, it's like rich person to say, but like, the service is really top notch. Like, it's a good service. Like, everyone treats you really well and like, they're on it. Like, oh my God, we would leave our room and then every time we came back, it was just like turn down. So it was like, they fix everything, they clean everything. There was always a lit fire for us when we came back to the room, always. And then a printout of the next day's activities on the resorts, like to plan your day. It was honestly, but it was fucking next level.
Did you just relax?
I did nothing. Yeah, I read a book a day. I read Carly's new book, Slut Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I finished Melissa Broder's book, The Pisces. And I read Rose McGowan's new book, The Brave, which we'll get into later. And they were all great. And so I read a book a day. I went swimming. I went to the steam room, which, oh, by the way, brings us back to body vibes. So, like, San Diego, everyone that was staying there was, like, a rich white Republican who is in his mid-60s. Like, we stuck out like sore thumbs there. Like,
really?
Yeah. And like, whenever you would overhear them talking, it'd be like guys being like, merger, Silicon Valley,
they'd deal. Be like, the Dow crash.
And it was just like them like toasting to whiskey. It was just dark. And then the women were wasted. People got fucked up.
Oh, I'm sure.
We literally would come into the restaurant at 8:30. The food was so good, by the way. We'd get in at 8:30 and people were just fucking trashed. Like, boozy, just like, woo! Like, it was fucking wild.
Yeah.
And, like, I swear to God, every time I saw, like, a group of, like, old white men gathering, I assumed it was, like, to plot someone's murder. Like, I literally, like, didn't trust any of it.
Was this on the beach?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
And what else happened? Yeah, every conversation I would overhear was just dark. So I just put my headphones on for a lot of
time. So when you're in the steam room, is there vibe of like a sexual
no,
vibe?
No, there's not. It's the most it's the most anti-gay place ever. It's not anti-gay, but it's not a gay paradise, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
We were the only gay people, I think, staying at the resort or that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny. You go to the steam room and I love a steam personally. And I do. God. What? I do.
Just this podcast is like taking a turn.
Whatever. Okay, so
Ryan's like, a little bit about me. Then we went and read a book a day, went swimming. The food was excellent, and I love a steam. Just by the way, really gets the pores
going. I wish
going.
Rancho Valencia would sponsor me a little. I'm giving them a mixed review because I'm saying the clientele was dark, but I actually appreciated it. Anyway, whatever. So,
well, the clientele is probably 1% that can afford to actually stay there.
Yeah, totally. Because again, like, whatever. So, okay, so what happened? So the steam room, it's funny. Straight men are so weird about their bodies. They really are. They're just weird. Like, there was, like, for me, like, if I'm in the locker room, I'm, like, nude.
Yeah.
It's just my journey. And I don't want to be, like,
there's not time to, like, cover up with a towel.
And everyone like, covered, but, like, it's fucking crazy. Like, you'd have, like, straight men being, like, shy and, like, changing underneath their towel. And it was just, like, really?
Really?
Yeah. And then the steam room, which I always
do you think they're, because they're old?
No, because I realized that old men have no shame. Because okay, the freeing part about being
who
old...
Who is in the steam? Wait, I'm unclear.
If like men in their 40s.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like dads. And
because they're probably afraid for you to see them.
Well, they see me and they're
you
like...
You walk in the locker room...
It's going to suck me off.
You walk in the locker room and they're like, I better cover up.
Yeah, they're like, this guy's
you
on
stroll
the
in with your like chic new glasses.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody. Don't you just love esteem? Oh my God, Rancho. Like, live, and laugh, like, love. Ah! And they're literally like, dick shrivels inward. They become like a Ken doll down there and then like change under their thing.
Totally. Yeah, all that's true. Yeah. I'm sure. So, yeah, but you know, I don't know. I took a Pilates class, and then the guy I took the Pilates class was really nice to me. We're taking esteem together, and he was asking me questions like, "Where did I from?" You know, he's nice. Yeah.
Were you nude?
I was planning on being nude, but then no one else was nude, so I just went in with a towel, which to me feels so ridiculous. If you're going to be in a steam room, just take the towel off. Why are you wearing a towel? I don't understand.
I would do, when I used to be part of a gym, I would do it like a towel.
When were you part of a gym?
I used to belong to Crunch, like,
you
back
did?
In the day. Yeah.
I
like
didn't know that.
Like 6 years ago.
Jesus.
Or something.
Did you go?
Yeah, I would go a lot. And I would steam afterwards. I would do like a dry sauna or a steam afterwards. But I would go in with a
would
towel.
You go nude? No.
Just around my waist, but then I would unravel it and then sit on the towel.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't come in full
but
nude.
If someone else
I come in
then
with a towel
if someone
then...
else came in, I would maybe like just cover up my bush or something like that.
Really?
There was one girl that came into a dry sauna when I was in there, and she was fully nude and then proceeded to stretch.
Okay,
she did
weird.
A stretch, like,
that's
legs
weird.
Over her head,
that's...
like, stretching, like, all these different positions, and I
that's
was like...
weird, because I don't... that's a little weird. I told you that story about how I was in at a steam room in West Hollywood, and I can't see in a steam room, obviously, because I'm blind, and so...
Do you wear your glasses in a steam room?
Yeah, but I have to take them off, because they fog up. So then I was in a steam room, and it was, like, a steam with a shower in the middle. It was weird. And I like go, and this guy is like kind of just eyeing me like this. I just see like an outline of a man
because
I can't see anyone. Mm-hmm. And he just starts like talking to me, and I can tell he's like hitting on me. And then I like go to shower, and he comes up, and he's like kind of like soaping me down a little bit. And I know, he sounded
he's
hot.
He's bathing you?
Yeah, basically. So then he sounded,
wait,
what?
So this went from, he's like checking you out, you're like aware of him.
Being gay is weird. I don't know how many times I've
said
this on the podcast.
And then he bathed you?
Yes. Well, he just like soaped me down a little bit.
So unclear
being
on that.
Being gay
move.
Is weird. I'm telling you.
Is being gay, you just have free license to like roam?
Kind of a little
like,
bit.
Bodily roam.
And it's not always right because some guys are really aggressive and it's gross. So anyway, so
if I was in a locker room and then someone started to soap me down, when I would be very unsoothed.
I was into it. So but basically like,
wait,
but here's the deal. So I was like actually
was he
ready.
Just like, make sure to wash behind your ears? Did he like wash your armpit?
Like, no, he like washed my like butt and like, I don't know. I don't remember. It's all a blur. So basically, stop. Okay, so.
So then what happened?
Well, so I was like ready to like hook up with him, TBH. But then I was like, oh God, I can't see you. Like, hi, I have such bad vision. He goes, oh yeah, it's a good thing you can't see me. And I was just like, And I was like, and I was like, I gotta go. And I like hightailed it out of there.
What?
And then I saw him out of the whatever, like I could make out his shape or whatever. And he was not the one. And I'm like, and I'm like, wow, you just ruined it. I would have like. Because I literally could not see him. Like, I literally was like, he was just like he was like flesh to me. Like, it was just nothing. I mean,
so
I would
you
have,
would have hooked up with someone blind that just came approached
yes.
you and soaped.
Well, because all you want to do is come. That's all. You just want to get jerked off. Like, that's all you want. I'm not asking. I wouldn't have like penetrative sex
you
with him.
You wouldn't kiss him.
No, I don't think so.
But you would blindly.
I would have him blow me.
To see,
or jerk me off. Yeah.
A person comes up, washes your butt, and then you're like, let's do this.
Yes. I know. Being gay
that
is wild.
Is different. Being
it's,
a man is different
it's
than
different.
Being a woman.
Yeah, it's, you heard it here. Hot
what
take.
I've learned.
Hot take.
I'm like, a little birdie once told me, men are from Mars and women are from
although
Venus.
In this culture, I don't know if we can even say it's different. Triggering.
Identifying as a man is much different than identifying as a woman.
Yeah, totally.
But
so
I'm...
Yeah, it's weird.
Ultimately confused.
It's weird, but being gay is fun like that because we get horny and we just want to fuck.
Yeah.
I'm making generalizations, but like...
I mean, I'm not... I'm... I think that even in my levels of like peak horniness, I would not just want like a random to soap me up in the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't just want to get like,
yeah,
but I don't even know what I would want.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
I mean, gay men have been hooking up in steam rooms since the dawn of time.
Well, yeah.
In fact, in Burke Williams, I think the one in West Hollywood, like, I think they were having so many incidences of people hooking up that, like, they designed it in a way where, like, you couldn't, like, being at Burke Williams was really weird because people would just be patrolling. Like, they'd have, like, security guards or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like, they'd like, be like, oh, the helpers, you know, like, redoing the mm-hmm. towels or whatever. But they were really just, like, surveillance. Like, it was, like, surveillance. And yeah. it was oppressive. Like, you'd be like, please, like, leave me alone. But I think they just know that the second they would leave, it would turn into Caligula.
Yeah.
Like, literally, and it would because everyone there, like, their bodies are insane. Like, it's like West Hollywood gym. I mean, it's fucking wild.
Yeah.
It's like seeing the most
That's
beautiful
where Crunch
men.
Is.
It's like seeing the most beautiful men all in one. It's like Equinox or Crunch or whatever. And yeah, it's a very sexual vibe because it's all men and people do just walk around nude there. And it's just like, it's a journey.
I didn't know that, like, I didn't know about that side of gay culture until I was a member at Crunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I used to go there. I had like a friend that would also go there, and he hooked up with someone in the steam room.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about it, and I was like, what? And then like,
yeah.
I did not know that that existed.
The funniest thing to read is this. There's this place called Century Day and Night Spa mm-hmm. downtown.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They always have ads on uh-huh. TV in LA.
And it's a notorious like gay hookup place. And it's hilarious because if you go on Yelp, there's like always a straight guy being like, it was crazy. I went in a steam room and some guy was eating someone's asshole. Like, people who didn't get the memo, this was a gay hotspot.
Yeah.
And it's just like a bunch of horrified straight men being like, this was crazy. Wild. I just went in for a soak and there was someone fucking right in front of me.
Wait, so what happened in the steam room at Rancho?
Nothing. Like, oh. It was just like, because they were so conservative and weird. And like, I feel like.
So you just sat in your towel and you were like, bye.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like looking for a jerk off scenario, but it was just interesting to see how men carried themselves in contrast to like West Hollywood, which is basically just like people showing off their bodies and like being DTF. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just kind of like, honey, like, loosen up.
I know. What's weird to me is,
I don't
like,
know. I get really comfortable in my body in a weird way when I'm in that environment. Like, I, at that point, I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like, honestly, like, it's weird. Like, I feel shy about my body, but then sometimes I feel very liberated by it. And, like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, whatever. I don't know. I oscillate.
In a place where it's, like, all nudity, like, if I've gone to, like, Korean spas and stuff, and it
or
truly...
Or Mexico for your birthday.
Yeah, or Mexico.
Where literally everyone
birthday.
Just decided to be nude the entire time, which I love.
Well, I did a PSA beforehand to, like, our group of people that were going for my 30th, and I was like, just so you know, like, I'm going to be nude pretty much this
you
entire
did a TNA.
Time. So, like... Just get used to it. And then yeah. it's like as soon as we
and
got
everyone
there.
Was nude.
Yeah. And then everyone who
I
wanted to be nude
was
nude. I was the
only one who didn't get nude.
You didn't.
But I didn't get nude because there was someone there that I didn't feel comfortable being nude around.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I got very nude and it was fun. And yeah. I like being naked. But then in a Korean spa too, it's fun because it's just like, it's so like, I like being in an environment where women are just like, letting it all hang out, and it's yeah. like it's almost like they're bathing, but then like they're in these different like baths and just like hanging out, and it feels very like comfortable and safe.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But you said you wanted to talk about monogamy.
Oh, so I read Carly's book Slut Ever on that vacation, and I mean we talked about this before. Like, so Carly's book is about sex, and
yeah.
obviously. And what I love about it is that it's actually very, very sex positive, which I think in this culture, in this climate, we talk a lot about assault and rape, which is very, very important. And we've never really talked about this openly before, and it's doing amazing things. However, I will say that reading a book that is purely sex positive and doesn't involve like basically just like is just refreshing. It's
yeah.
like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my God. Sex can be like a positive experience. Like it can also be joyful and like da, 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 da. Like, you know, it's just wow, that's a really cool thing. And like Carly just enjoying it and asserting her agency and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she talks a lot about monogamy or being open or not open, and it just like, you know, it just like lit that fire underneath me again, where I'm just like, oh my God, like monogamy feels restrictive, and I want to have all those positive sexual experiences. What are you laughing about? I talk about this every week.
Literally, all Ryan does is like go back and forth between being like, I'm so happy and satisfied in my relationship.
I am, because they're not mutually exclusive. I've always been satisfied in my experience in my relationship with Jonathan. That has nothing to do with it, but it's like I have always, but to me, the pickle that I'm in is that I feel like when you want to fuck other people, there's a certain amount of energy and time that goes into, like, what do I do? Like, go on Grindr? Do I go trolling for dick? I don't want to do that. I honestly don't. I don't want to do that.
You want to like meet someone and have a crush.
Or no, I know I want to meet someone and like make out with them in a bar and be like done. Or I want like someone to be like, oh, like let's have sex. And I'll be like, okay, great. Like, but that doesn't happen. Like, it doesn't happen in this world today.
But would you want that if you weren't in a relationship?
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like part of the thrill of it for you is, like, the safety of being in a relationship. It anchors you in those desires to, like, go out.
It's both. I mean, like, again, like, it all comes down to the fact that I've had two sexual partners my entire life, and it sucks. Like, I'm like, there's a lot of sex that I have not had that I'm excited. Well, it's more about just, like, being able to explore other people and like being able
you
want to
just like
fun.
Hook up with an old guy.
Yeah,
that's what of. Let's be honest,
that's the underneath let's of all be this. Honest. I want to hook up with like a daddy who's like 45.
Yeah
like
I think
a muscle
you could
daddy.
Easily do that.
Yeah, but like how,
babe? You're not like
there's that
single
porn star,
so you're not
I've
gonna
about.
Go you're not gonna like go out to a bar and like you want to like a meet cute with your hookup.
I guess
you do.
Yeah,
you're like
I want to be organic.
Yeah, but you're not like you're not approaching this from a perspective of truly just wanting to have sex. It's about more than just sex.
Well, I want him to have sex with me, so I hire an escort. It's out of the question. Like, the whole point is I want to...
But, like, you could go on Grindr and, like, find a daddy that would fuck you.
I know.
Or make out and then leave you at a bar, if that's what you really want them to do.
Imagine that.
You're like, meet me at this bar and then make out with me after wondering and then go. And they're like, okay.
It's true.
I don't actually know if they'd be down for that. If
no.
I think you need to do a little more. But like, you can get what you want, but part of it is you do want to meet cute and you want like the experience of like dating. And
I
want
to know if any of our readers are in open relationships.
Yeah.
Or have fucked with a monogamish situation.
So
let me know.
I'm very into like monogamish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't necessarily think that it's a reasonable expectation that like you're only once you meet someone that you're in love with, you're going to like fuck them and only them for the rest of your life. That seems like kind of restrictive. But I also am not like let's open up the relationship because I would want to protect what we have and like
right.
whatever.
No, and it's true. And like, but I think also like it really is important. Context is really important, or context in this situation is important because there are different motivations why people open a relationship up. And I think where it gets problematic is when you open it up because you're bored.
Yeah.
And you want to spice things up. And I think that's a really risky thing. For me, I'm so satisfied by Jonathan. It's just sort of this sort of like, yearning of like being like, wow, like everyone else got to like have sex with a lot of people except for me, and I feel really cheated because I was celibate for so long and I want to have those experiences. Or maybe I just want to have one and then
I
be
think
like
that you romanticize.
I do
those,
I do
because
but,
a lot like when you're out single having sex with a lot of people,
it's not great.
No, it's like some of them are okay and then some of them are horrific.
No,
and
I
you're
know.
Like oh my god,
I know.
But
I know
you want
that.
You want a dating experience.
No, I just want to. I honestly, what you said is, I want to fuck a dad.
Well, then go on Grindr and fuck someone.
A dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Should we
go to the Eagle tonight and scout?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe people will be fired up about the Super Bowl.
Oh, at the Eagle?
Yeah.
No. No one's going to care about the Super Bowl at the Eagle. It's a gay leather bar.
I feel like people are sporty though.
No.
My like dream scenario is a threesome with two guys.
I know you've always wanted it. Do you want the two guys to fuck too or no?
I'm down for them to fuck. I would love it if it happened for them to fuck. That's not like a prerequisite, but like I would hope that they're open to like at least like making out or something.
I think so.
I would love for one of them to like suck the other one's dick.
Oh my god, that'd be so
right?
fucking hot. That's so hot.
Yeah.
That's like
it's hot.
Yeah.
So it's important. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's becoming more and more acceptable.
On your Grindr profiles, you should say, like, looking for a gay couple to have a threesome with.
I don't want to have a threesome with a gay couple, though.
Or, like, a bisexual couple.
Yeah. I don't really... I'm not so wanting to go on Grindr to find this. I would like to, like, meet a bisexual
You want to meet cute threesome.
I want to meet cute
you
threesome.
You
want
to literally run into, like, a bisexual couple. If you're allowed to run into a bisexual couple at, like, Whole Foods and be like, hey, is that your carrot or mine?
I don't want to do it with, like, a bisexual couple. I want to be in a relationship with someone
and then invite someone in. That's great.
To do it with us.
All right, well, you're going to have to get into a relationship first.
Just a small step.
Get into that later. Yeah. You're going to have to do a twosome. Yeah.
So, anyways, well.
Wow.
Good luck to you.
I'm going to need it. But I do want to see.
How does Jonathan feel about this? He's like, go forth and daddy it up.
Well, I really want to have sex with this porn star. And I've mentioned him before on this podcast because we've had really fun experiences together. And I want to fuck him.
So is Jonathan okay with that?
Yeah.
Is Jonathan allowed to fuck other people?
Yeah. He is. Yes, of course.
Ryan, I feel like you're the kind of boyfriend who, like, you are able to do whatever you want, but as soon as Jonathan did anything like that,
that might be true.
We'll fuck out.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. That might be true.
I can't wait. This is actually, I'm already tortured by this.
A storm is brewing.
This is a storm brewing for sure.
A perfect storm. Horm. Yeah, no, I know. Whatever, okay? Relationships are weird and hard and, you know, I mean, it's
good that you're talking about it and that you're open about it, though. Because I think one of the worst things in relationships is, like, if someone, like, won't even or entertain an idea about some kind of, like, sexual something.
We always talk about it. And I think Jonathan's main fear is about just fucking with what we have, which is pretty great. And how inviting something.
Well, yeah, and that's, like, that would be my biggest worry about.
That's why it needs to be, like, a Marlon Rando. That's why.
Yeah. I want to know from the readers. I want to know if they've ever, like, compromised, like, with like a sexual fantasy to, like, honor the person they're with. Like, if they've said, like, I've always wanted to, like, do, like, I dated someone who I was, like, told him when we were dating, I was like, I want to have, like, a threesome, like, with another guy, like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, flat out, absolutely not. That will never, ever, ever happen.
Yeah.
If you think that will ever happen in this relationship, and like if that's something you're
jealous,
and
that's not chic.
But I was also like, well, then I'm not so interested in dating anymore.
No, I know.
But like, I want to know from the readers, have they ever like just been like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
And like then shut the door on their fantasy. Like,
yeah. Also like cheating. People will cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheating stresses me out.
Well, I just don't think there's
cheating.
Any need for
I think if you're gonna cheat, it's a sign that you shouldn't be with the person that you're with.
You can't talk about it.
I've always viewed it too as like, for me personally, if I like have and I've cheated on a couple boyfriends or whatever, but like in that moment I've been like, okay, I have to break up with this person, I break up with them the next day.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, I can't wait for this update on your daddy journey.
I know. I think there'll be one coming soon. I don't know. I mean, actually, I don't know where I pulled that in my
head. Yeah, so I was like, from where?
I'm like teasing something that isn't actually happening.
You're like,
stay tuned. And I'm like, oh, I guess I should schedule a hookup with a daddy.
You're like, I should probably talk to my boyfriend about this.
Yeah, I know. Jonathan just learns so much. Jonathan listens to the podcast sometimes.
I know.
He's like, you talk about me. He's like, you troll me. He goes, I need to go on the podcast to clear my name.
He needs to come on the podcast and clear the air. And also some of the readers want him to.
They do?
Yeah, we've gotten emails that are like, when is Jonathan going to make an appearance?
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. Oh, will we ever get to hear from our sweet Jonathan?
No. Take the mic. It's my time.
Maybe I'll have him on Sexy Unique Pod.
Oh, you should. Yeah. That would be really fun, actually.
Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah, you should do that. Mm-hmm. Give him his own platform.
Yeah. I'm like, let's talk about Ryan. I'm like, what bothers me about Ryan?
Yeah, you guys can have a field day. Okay, wait. I want
to
talk
else?
About
what? We need to talk about Rose McGowan.
Yeah, we need to talk about Rose. Okay, so.
So.
I read her book.
You read her book.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Really excited to read it. I can't wait.
It's fantastic. You really get to understand the extent of the trauma and abuse that she's had from, like, since day one. Like, her childhood was fucked up. She was homeless. She was like legit
born
homeless.
Into a cult.
She was born into a cult. Then she had an abusive father and a very absentee mother, and she was kind of shuffled around. And then she was homeless for like a year or two. And it was hard. Like, it seemed like she never had any real parental figure, anyone looking out for her.
Yeah.
And I think that what I appreciate about Rose is that she truly is the only one, especially in this movement of everyone being so woke, she's the only one that truly is not giving a fuck. Like, even like, she talks about Time's Up, which is the CIA initiative, mm-hmm. which is great because it donates money to a fund. But the impetus behind that starting was the fact that CIA had bad press regarding, like, knowing about these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, and
happening.
They were complicit.
They were complicit in it. And this is their
and
way
and
to,
sending
like,
their
clear
clients
their, yeah,
to it.
Yeah. And this is their way to clear their name. So Time's Up is a little icky. It comes from an icky place. And that's not to say that it's not important and great, but, like, Rose McGowan's the only one being like, yeah, want to know why that's happening? It's happening because of this, da da da. Like, she's full on transparent.
And Rose is fighting really, for justice, and she's a fucking warrior.
I think that's
and I
really
live.
Important. And, you know, she's come under a lot of crossfire because I guess she yelled at a trans person at her reading, kind of confronted her. And then Rose just, like, lost her shit and started screaming at the trans person and said a lot of weird shit. Here's the thing. Like, she's on a book tour where basically she's, like, talking about her rape, like, 24/7. And I think that she's really fragile. I saw her interview on Colbert, and it seemed like she was, like, I mean, I'm not a professional, but it seemed like she was going through, like, kind of some manic episode or something. Like, I mean, there's clear, like, mental health problems, which, like, no duh, because what she's been through would drive anyone to develop mental health problems. Like,
yeah.
She's been abused systematically since she was born.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's going to have some problems. And she's going to be messy. And she's going to be problematic. And she's not going to always say the right thing. And she's not going to always be articulate. And I think that, like...
And I don't think that she's trying to position herself as someone that is always saying the right thing.
No,
so
of course not. But she's, like, she's lit. And, like, so I think people are looking for a way to not trust her because I think that she is talking about really uncomfortable things, mm-hmm. and she's giving truly, like, no fucks, you know? She's not just, like, taking an activist to an award ceremony and being like, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, she's actually just truly doing the work.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually, and, like, she's really, like, blowing up the cults of Hollywood. And she's, like, blowing up, like, what we've been sold. I mean, just, she's talking about real heavy shit, but also with everything that she's saying, it's sort of like, well, where's the lie? I mean, she's pretty much right about everything.
Yeah, no, she's... You know?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right.
She said that the person that confronted her at the Barnes & Noble reading was a plant from Harvey Weinstein. And it's so funny because initially you want to be like, that's fucking insane. But you have to also remember that Harvey Weinstein literally sent spies after her.
Yeah.
So honestly, I believe anything at this point.
Yeah. And I also, I'm like, okay, like I haven't read her book yet. I can't wait to read it.
Did you watch Citizen Rose?
I watched Citizen Rose.
It's really intense.
It's intense. I live for what Rose is doing, and I fully respect it, and I am 100% on board to watch this entire series. But I have to say that Rose is babe.
Yeah, she's a little babe. But she's also babe. I mean, that's the thing.
She has a lot of moments. She oscillates between different babes,
yeah,
but she is babing the fuck out on this reality show.
But,
and you don't star in your own docuseries and, like, direct your own docuseries if you're not a bit of a babe. And so...
Well, the interesting thing about her is that there's still a lot of ego, and there's still, like, a lot of, like, you're an actress. Like, there's a... Not to say that she's pretending, but there is a level of narcissism.
Well, yeah. But that's what makes it... It's like... It hits all my levels of what I want and to watch, because I like that she's like shining a light on sexual assault and like the fucked up shit that happens in Hollywood and the industry and stuff. And that's cool. But then she also acts like a fucking psycho. And that's even better because it's like Rose is just like vaping
I know.
24. She's like vaping 24/7. It like cuts her and she's wearing like a very unclear pair of glasses, like giving a phone interview on speakerphone. Like Rose is not afraid
also,
to let her babe fly.
She's giving a full-blown interview in a bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
Rose is filming herself fully clothed in a bathtub, having like serious moments.
I mean, she's very
she's performing, but also she's
and giving you good sound bites.
Yeah, and like and the whole
you see her short of Dawn, it was incredible.
No, I didn't see it.
It was incredible. I'll it was actually it. It's dark, but it's good.
Well, yeah, it looked didn't look like a rom-com. No, I'll tell you that. But like I'm here for it. I'm here for whatever Rose
is
giving
she's
us.
The only one who's really also, going there. I mean, really going
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and to what you said earlier, it's like, yeah, no wonder she's fucking crazy. Like,
yeah.
She literally had a spy befriend her and pretend to be, like, an ally and then turn out to be an
spy. And I hate the internet culture. Like, since the Barnes & Noble thing, people are like, I'm done with her. I'm done. No, thank you. She's not a trans ally. She's done. And it's like, can we fucking allow some goddamn nuance for once? And they're like, this fuck, there's just the internet culture behind it, the knee-jerk reactions, they frustrate me to no end because they're just so like, I don't know, they just it depresses me because it feels very like witch hunting. It feels very simplistic.
Well, it's just outrage culture.
It's outrage culture, and it's like you don't understand what this woman has been through. It's like she's been like a professional victim for the last year, and she's been talking about her rape and her assault, and then she loses her shit at someone who's confronting her at a book at a book signing.
No,
it's
one
like,
is perfect.
It doesn't make
and
her,
like and I know. I think the thing that separates her is that she's not trying to necessarily say the right thing all the time or be like so woke. Like, and so it's like
But she does the one thing I think that she does do that is frustrating is that she sort of, I wanna say, has developed a little bit of like a God complex a little bit. I've noticed a little bit. Like, she's like, I'm Rose fucking McGowan. I'm fucking brave. Like, it's just like, whoa.
Well, I mean, if that's what she needs to do to get through it, then by all means. I think that ultimately she's doing more good than harm.
Oh, for sure.
And so it doesn't really matter.
All the internet trolls are like, I'm done with her. Fuck her. Anti-trans. Like, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, she's doing more to impact the world than like, what are you doing writing in your fucking basement? Like, what are you doing? Like go do something, then go donate to go work with like trans youth, like go do something.
Yeah.
Like stop being on your fucking computer and do something. It just makes me really upset how there is no room for nuance anymore in conversations, and that we just live in this outrage culture. And we also live in a culture that I think there's sort of like people are trying to out victim each other a little bit. Does that make sense? Like, I'm a bigger victim than you are. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I definitely get a sense of that where it's like, I don't know, it's complicated. Like, watching.
But I'm even scared to say this stuff because I feel like we live in this culture where, like, you can't make one misstep.
You're scaring me with saying that stuff. But it's like, you're not wrong. Like, especially.
I think people are so scared.
I think that comes a point. I can only speak for, like, myself, okay? So it's like, sometimes with like Me Too and everything and watching this movement unfold and watching people come forward with stories and stuff, it's like I start to feel like, okay, well, my own story is insignificant somehow because it's not as like crazy as this other woman's story or like this person's story, or like I start to like compare and contrast against, which is like fucked up and weird, but that's like kind of how society works in
a
way.
I think so too.
So, but then it's been a journey. This whole thing has been like a painful learning experience, even just as like someone that's more so like watching than speaking out necessarily. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of like living, it's like, I don't know, just getting, I feel like I've gotten like re-traumatized like so many times over the course of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the end, it's going to be for the best, but been like, it's just a weird experience to go through have all the like Harvey Weinstein stuff come out. And then like, I don't know, just like a reckoning with my own assault and like my own history with like sexual, like weird shit happening. And then like to see it play out, like, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, I can't imagine actually, but I think it would be very bizarre. and I think you're right. I think that good things are always ultimately going to be coming from this, and there's going to be missteps, and people are just kind of figuring it out, blah, blah, blah. And
I think it's more important that people say whatever they need to say, yeah. and then, like, the cards kind of fall where they fall. Like, but it does, there is, like, some sort, I don't know, the out-victim-y.
It's the outrage culture and the out-victim-y thing that makes me upset, because I feel like we live in a space where people are not allowed to just have dialogues about things anymore. It's like you have to take the right position, and if you aren't, then you're scum, and that you, and you're like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just very, like, again, it feels like very, like, witch hunty. Not witch hunty. It's not the right word, because people said, like, straight guys will be like, it's a witch hunt against males. Which I'm
no,
like,
that's definitely not. Honey, I'm like, way to make it all about you. It's like,
oh,
not.
Oh my God, I know, please. No, but it's just like, I wish that people were allowed to speak candidly about certain things and kind of be like, you know, I feel this way, without feeling like they were going to have...
Where it's like someone's like does like a sound clip of you being like, it's like a victim, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. then they're like, Ryan O'Connell thinks that this. And it's like, I don't know.
It's like, it's just, you know, it's so weird. It's like, yeah, like when I saw Rose's thing on Stephen Colbert and I saw the Barnes & Noble thing, I was like, oh my God. Because I know that people are just looking for a way for her to fuck up. Like, for Rose to be so outspoken and to be so loud, it's like,
are those things really bringing her down? Are people?
They are. Oh, yeah. I mean, she's also.
I haven't even, like, heard.
She's acting in a not chic way. She's like, I'm canceling all. I mean, she's.
Well, she's babe.
She's babing the fuck out. Yeah. She is. And, like, I'm kind of like, oh, honey.
But you know what? It's like.
She's definitely making it worse for herself. But I also think that, like, the frustration with Rose is that. She's saying all these powerful things, but also there's this, like everything else, she has to be like the perfect activist and the perfect leader, and she can't mess up.
Yeah.
And people are looking for her, like, they're looking for reasons to take her down.
Well, it's also, I think, with women in general, it's like the pressure is more on you to be like being the perfect activist, yes. and all that, and like looking a certain way and acting a certain way, and it all plays into.
Now, do I wish that Rose issued an apology, and instead of she doubled down and said she was canceling all her things? And I mean, she's not acting great. She's not. And but again, I think she's truly going through something. I think that, like,
well, yeah, how could you not be?
How could you not? And so she's not acting.
Do
amazingly.
I think that she's like the end all be all figure of like
no.
everything related to this movement? No, but do I think she's like a really important person and like. Is part of the and bigger again, conversation, and yes, she's like a very important. Like,
and again, think
she's
about what
important.
She's doing. She's going on a book tour and talking about her assault over and over. I mean, it's like she's got to be like re-traumatized 20,000 times, and she's probably fragile as fuck and saying crazy things that don't always make sense. I mean, you saw like Stephen Colbert interview, right?
No. I haven't heard great. About any of this like Rose fallout. I've just been riding a high. I've been riding a babe high of watching her show. And just truly, I was like, our friend Cornelia came over to watch it with me. And we were like, she is a babe. I was like, she is babing the fuck out of this. But I love it. But
no,
it's
I love
also.
It. Speak her fucking. It's refreshing. Yeah,
it's
you
refreshing.
Know what I mean?
I love like, that it's on E too. I'm just obsessed with the whole thing.
Yeah, so
I feel like let's move on though.
Okay. Fair enough.
Readers, tell us what you think. Email us at babepodcast.com with your thoughts.
I hope nothing I take ruins my life.
Nothing you take ruins
sorry,
your
nothing
life.
I said.
Babe, talking to the microphone.
Nothing I said ruins. I hope nothing I said ruins my life.
Me too.
I'm just trying to talk about things.
I know.
In an honest way.
But it's just,
and I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Because,
well, this is a safe space.
Is it? It's going on the internet, which is
well,
like the
then,
ultimate
unsafe. Well, then do you want me to cut it
place. Out? No. No. Maybe, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
But did you think anything I said was bad?
No, but I mean, I just like, when you were like, it's people trying to out-victim each other, I was like, but then I was like, that's true. And I felt that personally. Like, not, it's like, when does... And maybe that is something that I just have to deal with, and that's more of a me problem, and maybe that's more of a you problem than a real problem, but it's like, there is a thought that is like, oh my God, this person was like more sexually traumatized
exactly.
than I was.
Exactly,
I've like,
endured more than you have.
The, yeah, and it's like, it's not about that, because it's not okay. Whatever happens, it's like non-consensual or harassment is not okay, just on a base level, like across the board. But it definitely, I don't know, it's hard. I like
society always has a way of tainting things.
It like reminds in a weird way. Me of when I was in boarding school, like an emotional growth boarding school for troubled teens. There was mm-hmm. definitely like a sense we had to work a lot with like our shame and be very like vocal and open about like sharing traumatic things that had happened to us or like blah, blah, blah. And it was good in this fact that you could come forward and say like things that you were really ashamed of that happened to you or like get stuff off your chest. But then it also had people that came forward and would say like crazy stories that weren't true and then make like a huge deal. And it'd be like, oh my God, like this crazy shit happened to like, you know, Caitlin, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then you would find out later that she had just lied about that in like a huge like group therapy session. And then it would be like a whole other like.
I don't think people are lying.
No, I don't think people are lying, but it's like.
But I think that there is sort of a like.
But that
it's a pissing contest of who's.
I feel like we're digging our own graves in this podcast. I feel like we set in and like just started digging.
No, I think
and
it's
we're
fine.
Like standing
I think
in
it's
the grave.
Fine. My main thing is like I wish that I think it's like human nature, or no, it's society ingrained to like pit people against each other mm-hmm. and like rather than actually just come together.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really cheesy, but I just like when I see this infighting with groups, it's sad.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I wish that we could all just be like, we've all had really fucked up things.
Whenever I felt like that, whenever I'm reading like someone else's statement or opinion piece and then starting to like compare my history of sexual assault or like harassment with theirs, it's like, I just try and be conscious of like taking a step back and being like, this is not reflective of like your experience in any way, shape, or form. And like everyone has a different experience and they don't have, like, I just have to remind myself that it's like that doesn't diminish me or like make mine any less important,
right?
Like, but be like very active about like reminding myself like that, because then it's like feels like shit to be like, well, I wasn't even like raped importantly enough or something. Like, it's like a fucked
you're
up
like, yeah no
you're
I
like
know
even
saying.
My you're like you come away with being like, oh, I went through this thing, but that doesn't even matter to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the way that this person's matters, that's which so, is like a totally weird way of thinking.
I know, but it's how things have kind of molded. And just to be clear, I do think that Rose said fucked up shit to that trans person at her story signing. She did. I mean, Rose is babying the fuck out.
I didn't see
to,
it.
She,
but to like,
she said something like, "I'm not from your fucking planet, bro." Like being. I mean, she said some not.
I mean,
cheap
I
things.
Feel like. Anyone not that's good. In a non-babe state of mind would know that, like, hey,
she's
I'm not, I
out.
Need to, like, not scream at a trans person that's, like, trying to ask me a question.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Lighting a candle.
Love and
Rose.
Light.
Love and light. I
We're
hope,
here for you.
I'm here for Rose.
We hope
and
this
I,
episode ends.
I hope soon. It ends. I hope you get on, like, whatever medication or get a new vape pen and, like, are able to, like, deal with your life.
But also thank you for being brave.
Yeah, sending you love and light. Sending everyone in that situation love and light.
Yeah.
I've been having dreams that I've been getting invited to see secret screenings of Sex and the City 3.
Oh, are you serious?
I've had two separate dreams since our last podcast that like I'm.
Didn't Sarah Jessica Parker, she was on.
She was on Watch What Happens Live and she said like not maybe she hinted to maybe being open to a version of Sex and the City 3 without Samantha. I say just do it.
No.
Just do it.
No, you need Samantha.
No.
No, just, you need Samantha.
No, I just need this movie. It does not matter what shape or form it comes in.
You're dumpster diving.
I am. Mm-hmm. I've never not been. Ryan, any form
you're
of this
diving
movie is a dumpster dive.
No, with Samantha, it's not dumpster dive. It's like leftovers. It's like stale
Honey,
leftovers.
I'm here for whatever form we
I
get.
I need Samantha.
I need the
and
art.
And Kim knows that. Kim knows that she's
I need
important.
The art. Piece that is Sex and the City 3 in however it can be delivered to me. Readers, weigh in. babepodcast@gmail.com. I'm here for it.
Fair enough.
What else is going on?
I wanted to talk about, this is backtrackling, but I'm banned from my mom's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
This is really quick. So I was going to go up to my mom's house to visit her. She lives in Eureka. And I was like, oh, I'll just come a week later. to go for your, come up for your birthday. And Mama goes, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. And I'm like, why? And she goes, your brother's coming up there and it's going to be too much for me. And I'm like, when has my brother and I been too much for you? That's like your version of ecstasy, like having both your sons up there.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you know, it's just overwhelming. And I'm like, no, like, what's happening? She goes, well, Sean doesn't want you to come up. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you talking about? Because he just wants some one-on-one time. And I was just like,
that's okay. It's yeah. not okay when you're Ryan O'Connell.
No, the more time
this is drama.
No, the more time I have to think about it, it's okay. So actually, let's not talk about it. It's actually fine. No, no, you're right. I'm sorry.
I love it. You're having a babe that you just turned into like
a babe.
Not, it's not yet a babe exclamation point. Because I can see that you're still a little miffed.
No, but I understand it
you're
more.
You're just reaching a place of neutrality, which yeah. I think is good. You just have to respect your siblings and understand that they need time.
Oh, I know.
Alone
you're right.
They need time
you're
alone.
Right. This is why I need to go to Al-Anon, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I really need to go to Al-Anon.
And what else is going on? I feel like we had some other good stuff to talk about. Oh, Lindsay Lohan posted some Instagram today that said her new project is a thing called lawyer.com.
I unfollowed her.
I unfollowed her
emotionally, physically, spiritually. I unfollowed her.
I'm here like more than ever for her.
I
now.
Can't. She darks me out.
It's like a dark. It's like a Tara Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, scary.
You said you wanted to talk
about what?
About Troy Sivan.
Oh, I actually love don't him. Want to. I love his new songs. They're great.
They're good. Yeah. I live.
He did a little ballad guy.
He's a little cutie.
Little cutie. My. It's a great. It's a great song. Honey. Run to it at the gym.
Those
are my deep thoughts on Troye Sivan.
I know. I love it. I was like writing out and Ryan goes, I want to talk about Troye Sivan. I was like, what do you need to talk about? And he was like, I just love his songs.
Babe? Hot take. I know. Hot takes again. Coming with the hot takes today.
You had a babe moment this week, exclamation point, when
about?
You got your new glasses.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to have a Ryan O'Connell appreciation moment for how hot the glasses are.
Oh, great.
And you're just really hot.
What?
Yeah.
Really? What do you mean?
I just see your selfies that you post on Instagram, and I think to myself, wow, he's so hot.
But you don't think that in person. That makes me think I don't look as good in person as I do in photos.
I don't know how to comment on that.
Laura.
What?
It's true.
I'm neither going to...
Laura.
What?
I think, I don't know, because everyone says that. Everyone, like even Carly was like, God, you're looking so good on your Instagram. And I'm like, but I'm here now.
What? Like, so what do you want mean? Me to tell you to your face you Instagram? Look hot?
Well, like, I don't put filters on my photos.
But I thought that you pose it up for Instagram. You're purposely trying to look hot.
Yeah, of course, but like, I don't
you
put
post
filters.
Photos with your little, like, sexy scowl.
Yeah. Yeah, but
well, you
don't
scowl in real life. Okay. You are a lawler IRL.
With my laugh lines.
You have a live, laugh, love persona face-to-face. You're not like...
Do I look different
if you
IRL?
Walked around looking like you did on Instagram in real life, we wouldn't be friends.
But do I look... I don't want people... I don't want to be like catfishing anyone.
You're not
do
catfishing.
Do I look... Because I don't put filters on
babe, you're trying
to
be an Instagram model when you do those things. You make... I know you, and I know that you're like posing and scowling and trying to look sexy and disturbed.
I know.
And I'm telling you right now, you do a great job of it.
But in person, do I look crazy?
You look disturbed.
Do I look crazy in person?
No.
Do I?
No. Sometimes...
Really?
But not like in a bad way.
Okay.
You're just Ryan.
All right.
You literally just turned like a compliment into an insult.
Well, because I just worry that like I once had this job and one of the writers was like looked at my Instagram, my Twitter profile and was like, you do not look like yourself in this photo at all. And I was just like, and like, they're like, you look so good. And I'm like, what? That's so hurtful because that makes me think like, oh, I'm ugly and I don't know.
You're not ugly IRL.
But I do know that I photograph well. I do know that, but I don't know what to say. I'm insecure.
Oh,
I'm insecure. Season 3 on HBO. What?
I do photograph well. I can't
I'm
even.
Sorry, I don't know what to say. My mind is short-circuiting.
I literally tried to give you
my
a compliment.
My mind is short-circuiting because I'm literally feeling like Grendel, and I'm just trying to like find myself to the light again.
Okay,
I'm trying to find myself to the light because I'm feeling like Beowulf.
You're more Beowulf.
Babewolf?
B-A-E.
Oh, or Babewolf?
Now you're Babewolf.
Babewolf?
You're Babewolf when I literally tell you you look hot, and then you say, but I don't look hot in person, do I? And then I have to say, you do, but it's
You
different.
Didn't say you do. Well, you didn't.
You don't look said... like a scowly Instagram model in person.
All right.
Do I look like my Instagram?
Yeah, you do, actually. You look exactly how you do in photos.
Okay, well.
I think you actually might look even a little bit better.
In real life? Uh-huh. God, I love that. Thank God.
I know.
I'm just
But
kidding.
You look good. What?
I'm trying to draw.
Oh. But you look good in photos, too.
Thanks, honey. We've derailed.
I don't know. I'm, like, feeling fragile. I'm just kidding. I'm, like, over it. All right, let's move on to the viewer,
this is Ryan's,
the viewer mail.
You're black swanning.
Let's listen. Let's read Bay Mail.
Okay. M writes us, Ryan and Lara, God damn, you two are amazing, and finding Babe was like shining a light in a fucking tunnel. As a 17-year-old girl who's bored out of her damn mind with being in
17.
High school.
I love the teens.
I am thankful that I can loll with you guys on my car rides and when I'm tackling pre-calculus. Y'all are truly the best. I've said live, laugh, love, and live your truth maybe 480% more than I ever would after listening to your podcast, but like, it feels right. Side note, Ryan, your Style Like You video from a while ago was beautiful, and that was what led me to Babe in the first place.
Aww.
Keep going on this journey and lolling your way through the hard stuff. Peace and love, M.
Oh, that's sweet. That wasn't like an advice.
No, I just wanted to read that.
But that's sweet.
I felt like you needed that.
I needed that. I did.
Okay. Oh my God, we got a really good email.
Okay.
From Anonymous.
Okay.
The subject was Mom Babe. This week's tangent about thievery really hit home for me, and I wanted to share my babeness as of late. I'm 27 and have a beautiful 7-month-old baby daughter, and sometimes we just like to go to Target and load up the stroller with stupid shit and bounce. It is a thrill. Now, I know what you're thinking. That is quite irresponsible of you to shoplift while caring for your baby. But to that I say, true. But also, isn't it genius? Just as no one would expect a boy with a limp, neither would they suspect a mom of just hanging out with her baby. I've never stolen a thing in my life, so while this may be very late in the game, the rush is that of a rebelling teenager without a cause. I think it may stem from being bored as a stay-at-home mom, so I'm seeking out therapeutic intervention before I get thrown in jail and my husband has to pick up our daughter from Child Protective Services.
That's amazing.
You guys truly did the Lord's work and saved a family this week. Congrats! P.S. Don't use my name.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Which
I'm loving for her journey.
I love it.
Steal. Go ahead.
Well,
steal.
I say steal, but maybe stop stealing because I feel like I don't want you to jinx yourself. Like, I live for you stealing from Target.
Yeah, because that's where I stole from. That's yeah. where I got banned from for 10 years.
I'm obsessed with it. And I don't think anyone would question it.
No, you just have to pay a fine if you get caught. It's like no big deal.
It'd be kind of okay.
I think she continues.
I think you would just have to be like, oh my God, I was using this as my shopping cart and I totally forgot that I had stuff in there. I'm so, so sorry.
Yeah, just clutch your baby and be like, he's
I'd
sleeping.
Be like, I have postpartum depression.
No, but also be like whispering like, he's sleeping.
Yeah, be like, shh.
You're
going
to wake the child
down for a nap.
You just went down for a nap. You're trying yeah. to wake him?
When you're a
and
mom,
then guilt
like,
them. And then guilt them being like, how you just woke up my child.
Yeah.
You just woke up my child. You
I know? Think that like you get like a one get out of jail free card with a being a mom shoplifting
you
with your baby.
Jail.
Yeah. And then the next time you go to
just
jail.
Go to jail.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
I don't know.
Though.
I think, but can I just say like I stopped doing it because I got caught. And then once you get caught, the thrill is gone.
Yeah.
So I never stole again after I got caught. So maybe she should just do it until she gets caught. Really, consequences are very small.
Yeah. They seem small.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay.
Oh, this is long.
Should we not read it?
No, let's read it. Is it good?
Yeah. So Nikki writes us Babe Moments in Herstory. She said, Babe, love the podcast. I wanted to tell you one of the times I fully babed, circa 2013. The summer after I graduated law school, I moved in with my mother in order to save money because I had to take a leave of work to study for the bar exam. This began my rapid descent into full babing. I studied from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. every single day for 8 weeks and was live, laugh, loving. If by live you mean crying a lot, and by laugh you mean vomiting every day, and by love you mean taking a fleece blanket to the library every day and eventually just leaving it there overnight because they knew I'd be back and I needed the goddamn blanket. Finally, right before I sat for the bar, I was home one night and becoming more and more worked up with anxiety about this test, and I overheard my mom on the phone with her BFF, who she would call and loudly talk to for hours a day. I overheard her say, "They can't make me stand my ground, Linda," in reference to the Trayvon Martin Florida law that allowed George Zimmerman to murder a kid. For whatever reason, this triggered me into a full rage at my mother for making that case about her and believing that someone would make her stand her fucking ground in Illinois. I left my bedroom to go tell her to stop talking and stop talking stupid, and saw her fully sharing a plate of spaghetti and meatballs with her fucking parakeet named Scooter.
Wait, I did not see that parakeet. The parakeet reveal, I did not see coming. Wait, a parakeet. First of all, anyone that owns a bird is truly not well.
Bird owners.
Bird owners are the ultimate babe.
Yeah,
they're fucking crazy.
Babe?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't trust babe, a bird owner.
Don't even question. Yeah. There's no question they're a babe.
Parakeet named Scooter, and she lost it. Babes, I went into a 40-minute tirade about every single thing she'd ever done wrong. To be fair, there's a lot of material there. And how much I hated Scooter and how she was insane for believing someone could make her stand her ground and for believing that parakeets could eat pasta on the regular. And I went into my room, slammed the door, and then in a full spiral, emailed my best friend whose wedding I was to be the maid of honor, telling her I was dropping out of the wedding. It was about a week before the wedding, and not to reply to the email because I was over the wedding and didn't need to talk about it.
Wait, no. Stop. Wow, that is truly, she's on a babe page, a babe rampage.
She did go on a babe rampage. Long story short.
I love babe rampages.
Long story short, I ended up being the maid of honor in that wedding. I passed the bar and dug myself out of the spiral without getting bangs. My mom still has Scooter and she still eats spaghetti with him.
That's great.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing story.
So you babed, but then there was healing, and then everything restored itself exactly back to how it was.
I love when there's reveals during the emails. Like, I think I have the email figured out, and then all of a sudden a curveball is thrown. Like, that person was bald.
To what?
Who, like, likes hairbrushes. And he's like, well, actually, I'm bald. And I was like, what? Like, I love like, a late reveal.
I forgot about our bald hairbrush lover. Yeah, being
like, an obsession with hairbrushes, and then just, FYI, I'm bald. I'm
yeah.
Like, okay.
Oh my god, a babe rampage. That is so good.
That is really good.
I love that her mom eats pasta with Scooter.
Scooter, her parakeet.
Coming around the corner to see a mom sharing pasta with Scooter
I would babe out too.
Come fully unhinged.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that, Nikki.
It's amazing.
All right, should we read one more?
Yeah, let's read one more.
Okay. Carly writes, "Hi guys, avid viewer here. I love listening to all the truths and lols, but it's driven me to a place that I truly don't know if it's a major dark out or majorly chic. Maybe you can help. Is it babe to have become so obsessed with Ryan that I've trolled his name and searched all podcasts he is a guest starred on to listen in between my babe episodes? It's truly TBD. P.S. I, of course, keep up on Sup too. So justice for Lara."
No, I support.
I read that for you.
I think that once you get a taste, you can't get enough. And I understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I understand hearing this and wanting more.
He gets
so
it.
I really get it, and I support you. And if you are looking for my best podcast reel, you should check out Them Jeans. I've been on that podcast a bunch.
I'm sure she knows about that podcast.
It's my greatest work. Other than being on this podcast.
That is your greatest work?
No.
Okay. This is from Kristen, and the subject is not sorry, which was already a babe. "Mariah, dear Lara and Ryan, longtime Lawler, first time caller, I felt compelled to write you for two reasons. One, this is in regards to the conversation about people with special diets and making a huge deal about it. My sister, who is also a fan of both podcasts, and I have a sister-in-law, actually future ex-sister-in-law at this moment in time, who claims to have a gluten intolerance. She's one of those people that always makes the biggest deal about it, and it drives the two of us insane. Anytime we make plans for dinner with her, we always had to research online for the best places to gluten-free menus and send the restaurants to her for approval, because we would never hear the end of it if we went to the restaurant where she only had a few options. Even after we would let her pick the restaurant, she hated every meal she ever ate, but that's a completely different issue." We also had to make secret plans to go to one of our favorite restaurants because she loved one of the items on the menu that wasn't gluten-free, and if she couldn't have it, none of us could. There were many gluten-free items on the menu, but she refused to eat them and would guilt us if we wanted to go there. My sister and I actually had a theory that her gluten intolerance was all in her head because it literally came out of nowhere one day. So, is it babe that we used to sneak gluten into her food without her knowledge so that we could truly find out if her intolerance was real or not? Well, she never got a stomach ache after eating the gluten-infested food, so there's that. Now she's divorcing our brother, so we're waiting for the perfect time to tell him that we've been poisoning her food with gluten for years and she never got sick. It's still too early to tell him, but we'll get there one day. Now, here are my thoughts on the babe merch.
Oh, okay.
I'm a fellow Deadhead, RIP Jerry, and I think we need a tie-dye shirt that is a play on the Let Trey Sing tease from Dead 50 that says something like, "Let me babe." You're the much more clever than that, so you can probably think of something better. Anyways, love you. Sorry this got much longer than I had intended.
Okay, regarding the merch, I can't go there.
Ryan and I had a tense discussion about merch that then ended not tense, so we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine. What? I'm serious.
We're good.
Regarding
we're
the
in a really
thing,
good place.
I love it. First of all, sister-in-law, which is what I would call you.
Sister-in-law.
You're my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call your lawler sister. Anyway. Yeah. I think it's fine. I think that's funny. I know when, like, when you, if they actually have a gluten allergy, you would know. Like, if it just comes out of nowhere, then obviously they're just being weird about food.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine to test the waters. Now, if they actually had, like, celiac disease, like, and you've always known that.
You'd be a monster.
You'd be a monster.
But this is just like a fun troll.
Yeah, and clearly she's making it
And
up.
It will make for a mega lol once like the divorce is finalized and you can like give your brother a really good lol as a gift.
Yeah.
And tell him about the food poisoning.
Yeah. So I think it's all worth it.
Yeah. It's great.
She sounds terrible. So whatever.
Yeah. I hate picky food shit, but my biggest like anger in this email is the fact that she like would not let you go to a restaurant where she desperately wanted to order it and then wouldn't let. That's psychotic. And she actually deserves to have all the gluten in her food for that. That's a troll and also really selfish.
God, she's a Putin about gluten. She is.
Oh, man.
They pay me
Big bucks. Speaking of gluten, what are we going to eat for a treat? Why?
I can't.
Why?
Because I'm trying not to eat. I have to eat dinner. I'm eating dinner later on, but I'm not having this tweet. Got treat. Oh, my God. I can't even get the words out of my mouth.
Ryan.
I'm sorry.
What happened?
What are you talking about?
Is this because I said the fat thing at the top of the
podcast? No, I just need to keep chill today.
I fucked myself.
All I've been thinking about doing this thing is like, I want a cocktail, but I can't.
I just want like a cookie. I want like an ice cream sundae, banana split.
Oh my God. That's intense.
Like I just want like a delicious treat.
That's really intense.
I'm like about to just go to a Super Bowl party just to have snacks.
Why aren't you at a Super Bowl party?
Because I don't give a shit.
I know. I don't get it either. Okay. Are we done?
Wait, we need to do our babes of the week. Oh. We did not do them last week. This is the first time we didn't do them. We fucked up.
Well, babe of the week, I guess, would be Rose.
Is Rose. Mine too.
Yeah, neutral.
Her vape is everything. I need to know all the details about her vape pen.
Sky Ferreira is still on the rampage. Well, she's doing nothing, but she's emerging like from like a goblin from a ditch and writing vague Instagram captions.
I mean, we're forever on Skywatch, so she's like past.
We'll let you know when she actually releases music.
Yeah,
which who the fuck knows when that will be. It's coming soon. She already released the cover art to like, which by the way, she released the Playboy thing was a year ago, and she's like, "This is my first taste of my second album." It's just photos of you topless. What are you talking about? This is not a first taste of an album. A first taste of an album is a song. It's not a photo. You fucking loon.
I want you to meet Sky. Would you want to meet her and chill with her?
Yeah, but I think she's a gnawler.
Yeah, I don't
remember
think she
when
walls.
I went to her. Remember when I went to that party wearing a Sky for her shirt and she was there?
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought that for sure that would be your guys' time to shine.
No. Imagine that. Instead, I bonded with Solange.
Well, you know, give and take. So life is a journey. email us and ask us questions or tell us nice things or give Ryan a compliment.
And we'll have more merch stuff soon. I mean, yeah. Merch info.
We're getting into it. And it's a...
We took a meeting.
Yeah, we took a meeting.
We went to a meeting.
We did a meeting today.
We took a meeting to talk about.
Yeah, here. So the ball is rolling.
We're gonna... It's gonna drop soon.
We're gonna circle back to the merch conversation.
And we're gonna get some design and we're gonna land somewhere like it. And like, we're gonna build out the email and then it's fine.
So yeah, look out for our first collection of Ryan and Lara's merch line.
Lara coined that. We're doing collections.
We're doing seasons of merch. Yeah. So yeah. Season one of Babe merch is coming soon.
Yeah.
So I love every reader.
I love every viewer.
And that's all there is.
Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.